we're seeing more of it now, especially with young people, with people being able to have access to their partner's cell phones, email accounts, social media. It's really, I hate to use the word taking off, but this area is much more increasing because of our use of technology than it has in the past.
It's just another tool for a violent act, and I'm a little surprised that people have viewed it as separate.
I am too. And in the past, there was limited resources for victims going to the police. We are seeing now special task force within certain departments and different laws targeting these offenses. But in the past, people didn't really see this as something that was connected or something that they were able to fight the same way they were able to fight in-person crime.
A lot of what we think of as traditional domestic violence is based on power and control. How does cybercrime fit that or expand upon it?
In much of the same way. A abuser could actually take control of your cell phone using different software, also be able to control your email, change your email passwords, change your passwords for social media, take out credit cards in your name, mortgages, all of these things to be able to control you in a totally different way than we have thought of with intimate partner abuse in the past.
How does that happen? What do people experience?
It could be that person actually taking your cell phone and doing these things, or it could be they knew your password, or they were able to take control of that. One of the interviews that I recently did, her partner tracked her cell phone, and he was able to see, using this spyware, everything that she did. So where she went, what website she went to, anything. So she actually had tried to reach out to a sexual assault hotline on the internet. They had an open chat. He was able to see everything that she said using this spyware on her phone that he installed.
In terms of control, though, traditionally it's sort of a don't make me angry or X will happen or I will abuse you and intimidate you and bully you into doing what I want preventatively. How does cybercrime fit that model, or is it more surreptitious in its exercise of control?
It can be that. One of the things that people will threaten their victims with is the new kind of term revenge porn of putting naked pictures or videos online. The people use that as a threat. You know, you need to listen to me or do what I say or else this could happen. It's also about socially isolating them. Some abusers will actually send emails or messages from the victim's social media account to their family or their coworkers, saying things that are not true, saying they don't want to see them anymore, saying that they have a drug problem, all sorts of lies. So they can threaten them with those sorts of things in a way that's different than in the past.
Is this sort of act more susceptible to discovery and verification than other kinds of relationship violence?
It could be. The issue becomes, did the offender have the access, or did the person do it themselves? So a lot of abusers will say, I didn't do that. That's her email account. She did that. She did all of those things. I did not have any access to that. It just depends. Sometimes we can tell by, they can have an app on their phone where if I was an abuser, I could have an app on my phone to be able to track my significant other. That's easy to detect, those sorts of things. Or being able to see the history on the computer if I was at work, what I did monitoring my significant other. But it can be difficult to track and to prove that the abuser committed these crimes.
There are often warning signs in relationship violence in the traditional sense. The desire to know where someone is at all times, the desire to limit their outside contacts. In the early stages of an abusive relationship, does the cyber element come out as well, or is that happening later in the relationship?
Some of those warning signs are present right away. Oftentimes, it's wanting to know what you were doing online or who your friends are on Facebook, or if someone leaves a comment on your Facebook wall, that person might be, the abuser might be asking, who's that? What's your relationship to them? Wanting to know what emails you've sent, wanting to know your online whereabouts, just like someone would be interested in your physical world whereabouts.
And that's a little more tenuous sometimes in identifying that that's an unhealthy behavior.
Yeah. Some victims think that they were just, their abusers were just interested in what they were doing, but there's a difference between taking an interest and wanting to monitor all of your online activity, or wanting to, if you're sitting there at your computer reading emails, someone wanting to read the emails or go through your emails with you, which a lot of victims look back and say, you know, looking back, I think it was kind of strange. He wanted to read all of my emails, or he wanted to see all of my friends on Facebook and me tell them exactly who they were in relation to me.
Yikes.
Yeah, so there are some warning signs that people can identify.
How should domestic violence social workers help people navigate this new territory?
This can be often really difficult for people working in the field because it is new. There are some programs where you're able to have an app on your phone that can alert you if someone has spyware on your phone or your computer, and also being able to clear your history. But it's also, there's a checklist out to be able to kind of see if there are these warning signs that you would see in actual physical type behaviors. Wanting to have access to all of your passwords is another sort of trigger. So providing people who work with victims a sort of checklist for virtual intimate partner abuse could help victims recognize that. Because some of the people that I had interviewed, they had said, you know, I just thought that he was being careful or helping me be safe by asking me for a list of my passwords. Now, to most people, we would think that would be, you know, a warning sign, but to someone who's in this relationship, it might not. So by having that information at domestic violence shelters or even education seminars that are done, I think we need to include this online warning sign component as opposed to just the real world violence aspect.
Does it change the dynamic in how one extracts oneself from such a relationship?
Yes. So oftentimes, victims have a hard time picking up their online life, so to speak, because of fear oftentimes. Even if they have physically left the abuser, they have changed all their passwords, they deleted their social media accounts. If the offender had taken out credit cards or mortgages, they took care of all that. There's still the fear that they will do it again. And so some victims won't even want to go online, or they're afraid to go online. Similar in the same sense as someone being afraid to go outside or going places where their abuser might be, it's harder online because there's nowhere that they could hide, essentially. If you went online, they could find them. Or if they knew their social security number and personal information, they still would be able to access certain things or request certain information, which is what a lot of victims find happening.
What do you do about that?
That's the big question. And law enforcement is working to, like I said, they have special task force and there's laws that are emerging all the time. Oftentimes it's just protections on passwords, but I guess someone who's really skilled would be able to bypass those protections. And I wish I had a solution for that, but it's a really hard thing. It's a hurdle. And I don't know exactly how we're going to do that to help victims exclusively.
Does the law reflect the change in societal patterns in domestic violence codes?
Some. Cyberstalking is one that has recently been added. And then we are seeing revenge porn laws starting to emerge. But the problem often becomes ownership of the photos or the videos. If I had a significant other and I sent him my naked pictures willingly, the issue is that his property or mine? Or in what context did I give that to him that he could use it? The laws are catching up, I'm happy to say. Cyberstalking, I think in all 50 states has been added, but revenge porn is still making its way.
If there's an intimate picture given in a moment of intimacy, it is that other person's property, regardless if the relationship ends. How then can you prosecute a misuse of that property?
Oftentimes it's charged with harassment on revenge porn websites, people post pictures, but they also put the name. They could put your home address. They could put your work address, a link to your social media account. So the issue is, yes, that partner had that picture, but they did not give consent to have all of their personal information in that picture displayed. The issue also becomes putting all of that personal information with that photo online. I would say while it is that person's property, they don't have the right to put all of your information with that picture online because it was shared privately.
Is there a societal catch-up on this issue too? Because a lot of people are saying, what are you doing? What are you doing giving photos like that?
Yes. There's a lot of victim blaming, especially with revenge porn in regards to intimate partner abuse online, saying, you know, if you don't want those pictures sent out to the world, then why did you give it to that person? But no one thinks that their loved one is going to do that to them. That's the most common thing that anyone says. You know, well, I wouldn't think that my husband or my boyfriend would do that to me.
And there are many intimate details in a healthy relationship that are shared. So it's hard to say it's going to go bad.
And no one thinks it's going to go bad going into things. And everyone trusts the person they're with, you know, explicitly that they would send them that picture or they would send them a video or make those videos or pictures together. So I try to steer clear of the victim blaming while still trying to offer prevention tips.
How can we as a society get past that?
I think education helps. Also, I would say empathy, which is a really hard thing for some people to kind of conjure up. And in my classes, I try to teach empathy the best that I can to think about putting yourself in someone else's shoes. You know, most everyone has had a romantic relationship. Think about if this would have been your romantic relationship and your partner would have done that. Would you have wanted people to blame you? I'm not sure if we're ever going to get to that point of people being empathetic or even being educated about the topic, but I think those two things would help.
In traditional relationship violence, the gender breakdown of the perpetrator is overwhelmingly male. Does the ratio differ in terms of cybercrime?
I would say it's still more male, but the monitoring, it's growing in numbers for females. So women monitoring what their partners are doing online, even to a sense of them having the app on their phone where they can always know where their partner is, checking their emails, the things that we think of in terms of intimate partner violence, we see women growing in doing these things.
How much of a danger is simply knowledge of, or does it cross the line when it becomes control of?
Having knowledge of someone's whereabouts or what they're doing online, it's a slippery slope to being able to use that to control them or to threaten them or to even you take control of that email account. So some victims say that, you know, their significant other would go into their email account and just delete things, send emails. They would see emails going out that they had not sent. I think that that knowledge then could easily become someone using that for abuse or for control.
Shelley Clevenger is a professor of criminal justice sciences at Illinois State University and the co-author of the upcoming book, The Virtual Enemy. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much.